This is The Science Show on RN, where we now turn, as promised, to those fascist fridges and other online gadgetry, knowing better than you do how to organise your life. Imagine all your machines deciding to install 15 updates, each on the same day. But Professor Chiara Daraio thinks it'll be smoother and nicer than I've described, not least with your wired clothing.
Chiara, if I may call you that, I'd like to do a thought experiment. It's 10 years' time, and I'm getting up and I'm getting dressed, and the technology I'm using now, some of the complex material I've just put on your desk with wires and all sorts of dials and things like that, that won't be there. It'll be built into my clothing somehow. How will I get dressed? In the normal way?
I think we're heading towards a wearable revolution. We're going to be dressing the same way, but the clothing and the accessories we will be putting on will be rather different. They'll be smarter. They'll be seamlessly integrated with technology, with electronics that will be embedded in every fibers of our clothing. It will be able to sense our well-being and potentially even predict how our day will turn out.
So the information will be flowing the minute we get dressed. But then someone like me, I buy new clothes once every 10 years. I mean, when you go to a shop to buy clothes, will you give a computer address so that they can then wire your clothes before you leave the shop?
I think at the beginning, it's probably going to be more about accessories. Think about the ones you're already wearing now. And we can think about smartwatches that are already in our everyday life. You can think about smart glasses, which in some cases are already commercially available. But now you can start thinking about smart earrings, perhaps smart necklaces or belts or other accessories that we don't need to necessarily purchase every year all the time. And those will embed computing power, sensing powers, and just in general communication devices that are similar to the ones that are embedded today in our cell phones, smartphones, but will go beyond in that they'll be able to seamlessly integrate information from our, for example, physical well-being, metabolic activities, perhaps sleep, but also motion patterns. And maybe emotional.
And emotional as well. Well, that's extraordinary. But the kinds of things that I'm thinking of are in some ways more practical, in that sometimes the technologies which are operating separately will raise an alarm. You know, imagine you go to an intelligent toilet, and they've had them in Japan for many, many years, except you've got one at home and it measures your fluids as you perform. And it's concerned about the fact that there's a bit too much of a particular salt. Does it get in touch straight with your medical service and suddenly the alarms go, or what?
Wow, that remains to be seen. I think there's potential for people, for example, with chronic diseases to communicate directly with maybe healthcare providers, nurses. To a certain extent, the technology we wear today, like our cell phone can predict, or smartwatches can predict falls. And in fact, I did fall and my watch asked me how I was doing and whether I was in need of calling 911. And I think that's technology today. In the future, perhaps think about people with chronic diseases like diabetes or people that are perhaps confined to care at home. I think technologies that will instrument our home as well as our clothing will perhaps provide more freedom, more regular life activities in situations where right now a lot of us
You
are
said
constrained.
Seamlessly, you said, you know, more comfortably. Now, we spend our lives trying to remember passwords. And if you don't remember the passwords, you can't do all sorts of things. And if you try to find them out, you're almost under arrest if you're, you know, the mechanism is blocked. Will the various systems that want to know who you are know automatically from your clothing and from your body who you are without going through all that nonsense?
I think that's something that, again, it's a technology that we already have to a certain extent. Think about fingerprint recognition or eye recognition, eye scanning, which I use now to get on a plane, right, without the need for showing ID cards anymore. Those will be probably more and more integrated into clothing and accessories we use. For example, your glasses may be able to recognize who you are from scanning your eye. And the same will go, for example, from touch and fingerprinting. And there is other fingerprints our body has, other biomarkers, if you want, that really uniquely identify who you are. And more these will be integrated with technologies we can wear every day.
And what's your role in this wonderful revolution? Are you concentrating on the materials?
Yeah, my research since the very beginning has been focusing on discovering new materials and materials that span the chemistry of materials. For example, we develop new polymers that use ions instead of electrons to communicate with electronic devices, but also materials that embed other functionalities, for example, being stretchable and foldable or changing stiffness on command. And all of these materials will be, I hope, embedded in the future of wearable technologies to make smarter and more comfortable wearables in the future.
How do you change stiffness on command? Do you tell your trousers to become rather more smart, or I don't know?
Yes, actually. Some of the materials we developed exploit geometry of the constitutive elements in order to lock. Think about puzzle pieces. Now you have a fabric that is soft and drapable, but all of a sudden, on command, for example, when you feel tired or when you need to lift something heavy, can be switched on to interlocking ever more and going from flexible and foldable to being rigid, like a continuous piece of material. This is something in the lab you can see today. Then, of course, the challenges with wearables is that you need to make them not just into a fabric swap that you can just show in the lab, but into something that's manufacturable to scale in large quantities. And we're not quite there yet.
How much is this personal? Because I can imagine naughty people, and I can sometimes be naughty. If I know a code to say a magic word, I could then tell your clothing to do something before you know what's happening.
Oh, hacking clothing. This is an interesting possibility. It's certainly one of these many questions that can be raised when you think about the ethics of smart clothing and the safety, the personal security, the privacy. Those are, I think, all very good questions that we need to grapple with once the technology is more mature before we send it out into commercial spaces.
How is your work on the materials going? Are you able to find possibilities spreading before you with all sorts of good possibilities, or is it all very, very tricky and complicated and difficult for you? In other words, you might be okay yourself, but when you imagine the world of manufacturing and ordinary people handling this, will it be beyond them, do you think?
I think humankind has been adapting to ever-growing and fast-paced technology. So I am, in that sense, an optimist in that I believe that everybody will be able to adapt. Look at just the smartphone and technology revolutions. My kids were so apt at using these systems much quicker than I ever was 30 years before them. And I think that will continue. I think the question will be, how do we regulate this space? How do we make sure that financial interests don't surpass the societal interests? Those are really good questions that I feel like maybe as a society, we should be thinking about. But of course, in the case of what my lab is doing, we're really just mostly focusing about the fundamental scientific questions that are underpinning discovery of new materials for smarter wearables. So we're a bit removed from that.
You're a bit removed, actually, here at Caltech from many university campuses and manufacturing areas around the world. But are they doing similar sorts of work in your home country of Italy?
There are, of course, I think, centers of excellence everywhere. And Italy certainly has a phenomenal collection of talent that is distributed in the various universities, some of which, unfortunately, you see abroad, but in other cases, is still present there. And in fact, we do collaborate, for example, with the Italian Institute of Technology, with colleagues in Milan, in Turin, and often exchange students.
Oh, that's fashion stuff, collaborating with you already.
Haven't quite connected with the fashion scene in Italy, but perhaps we should reach out and explore.
We started with a thought experiment. Let's finish with a thought experiment. My partner, she's very, very smart, but she has prosopagnosia. She cannot recognize faces. Mm-hmm. So when she goes up to a person, she has learned not to say, "Pleased to meet you," because she may have met this person who knows how many times before. Will her clothing be able to tell her who this person is and what their interests may be, perhaps?
It's possible. Just imagine the smart glasses that you can buy today having some kind of memory about the people you've met and some recording about all you heard. And so in a not too distant future, you can perhaps envision combining this with AI or machine learning, all these large language models that today we can integrate, for example, in chat and embed them in perhaps your classes that may suggest you are about to meet person so-and-so. And there is, of course, a question of privacy and concerns that people may not want to be recognized. And that's, again, going back to the question of ethics or, you know, how do we deal with that? How do we grapple with that as a society? But I think the technology is not too far. And so in principle, such a solution could exist.
Yes, she came from Italy and now she's a professor of mechanical engineering and physics at the California Institute of Technology. Press a button and your shambolic clothing will be smooth and pressed and in touch with ABC News.